Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour here on BBSRadio.com. On this now, wow, it's already on the West Coast. It's still the 30th of June, but now we're already in the month of July on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Time is flying, definitely flying, speeding up. I don't know if you can feel that. Certainly I do. I know tonight's guest feels that happening. And I'm hearing this from researchers and sensitives around the world. Something is really speeding up. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that and some other issues. I'm going to be dealing with the realities and illusions of the physical, mental, and spiritual realms on tomorrow's show. I will be my own guest, and if you call into the show with questions or comments, you will be my guest as well. So, Bob in Colorado, if you're listening tonight, be sure to tune in tomorrow. And if you know Bob in Colorado and he's not listening, then be sure to tell him. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to avoid any news in the front of the show tonight. We'll probably be talking about all kinds of things going on around the planet with tonight's guest. He has an extremely popular website. In fact, he's inside the top 50,000 in the world. And so his website is over 10 times better than my own. So that's what he does all the time, and it's just part of what I do. But he's got a fantastic website, educate-yourself.org. He is a journalist himself, a researcher, a metaphysical scientist, we could say, in that he creates a lot of really interesting devices that are for your ethereal and physical protection, even mental protection. And his site is read by millions each month from around the world. I'm fortunate to have some of my work posted there on his site and on my site as well. Our good friend returns again to Evident Footprints tonight, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Pleasure to be on with you again.
Oh, yeah, I was checking web stats tonight, and I noticed you were in the 49,000s top. You know, you broke 50,000, so that's pretty good. You know, you're competing with Michael Jackson and American Idol and AT&T and probably McDonald's and, you know, the real important sites.
Well, thank you. Yes, actually, it was just brought to my attention how to check your website statistics from a website called Alexa.com about 3 years ago. Prior to that, yeah, it was about 3 years ago. Prior to that, I had no idea how one finds out what your ranking is, but someone told me that and looked on my behalf, and they told me this was at that time. It changes, of course, from month to month, depending on how many people visit your site, but at that time, this person told me, he says, you know, you have a ranking of 45,000. And I says, oh, I see. And he says, that's quite good. He says, I'm surprised. And then he explained to me how the whole thing works. I didn't know that the lower the number is, it means the more visits you're getting by a larger number of people. So
yeah.
The most visited website on the net is Google.com or Yahoo.com, and so they'll have a ranking of number one. So the higher the number is in this ranking list, it means you have progressively less traffic. So, for instance, if you had a website with, let's say, a web ranking of 8 million something, well, you're getting far less traffic than someone with a web ranking of 1 million, for instance. So, yeah, I look at it from time to time, every second or third or fourth month. I'll just take a gander, see where things are. And I've bounced around. I've been in the mid-40s. I've been in the 50s. I've even been in the low 60s. Depends on what I'm putting up on my site. In the month of the year, even the day of the month makes a difference in when people come to you. So currently, for the last few months, I've been hovering in the mid to high 40s ranking overall. And when I put something particularly interesting that gets a lot of hits, or if it's reproduced on a site like Jeff Francis, for instance, then I'll notice that the ranking will become lower. It takes a few weeks to show up. It doesn't happen right away. So, yeah, obviously I'm very pleased by that. I never, in my wildest expectations in previous years, expected to get as many people coming to my website as come now. I never imagined. Mm-hmm. I just started it as a tabletop effort, kitchen tabletop effort, in the interest of just posting things that I felt people would like to know about. As I mentioned before, I originally, the whole idea of educate yourself had more to do with finding out about alternative or natural or nature-based medicine versus getting away from the orthodox model. That was the original thrust. And I would have kept it there and just focused on that, but I actually started the website in 1996. What happened is that the New World Order was already upon us, by the mid-90s. At least I became aware of it by reading William Cooper's book. And so naturally I was also starting to tune into David Icke's material about that time, and I'm realizing this is serious stuff, So I just had to start adding stuff about the New World Order. So I wrote an overview, really, in 1996 that I added to in 97, 98, 99 as international developments, the war in Kosovo, et cetera, was happening during the latter half of the Clinton administration. So I started to get a certain amount of traffic because of my New World Order overview. And So at the time I was under the impression that we were going to have a major catastrophic earth changes in the year 2003. I wrote another synopsis that I called Coming Attractions. I also wrote that in 1996 because I had come across a website that seemed very convincing to me. It was called Zeta Talk. The website's still up. However, so I became very interested in that material, and I really dug into it, in thousands of pages to read. And because I thought this website was on the level, I expected this 12th planet, or Planet X, or that is called sometime, or Nibiru. It's all referring to the same planet which Zechariah Sitchin describes in his book by the same name, the 12th planet. And I certainly believe this planet exists, and it does swing through our solar system every 3,600 years or so. However, the Zeta Talk website flat out told you that it was going to swing through the solar system again in late May, early June of 2003. And for about 8 years, at least up to the year before, up to 2002, I firmly thought it's going to happen, because I just became convinced by what I was reading at this website. Anyway, it didn't happen, and thank God I was told by some people whose ability that I felt I could trust. I was told by a couple psychics who I felt they have the ability to know. And I was also told by two dowsers that I won't name who they are, but they're very skilled. And because of my belief in their spiritual, let's say, advancement, I thought they could get the accurate answer for me. And anyway, all four individuals told me categorically this event is not going to happen in 2003. Stop worrying. Now, that took about 80% of the worry off my shoulder because, you know, if you weren't prepared for this, you know, meaning underground shelter, you know, years of food in stock and, you know, all kinds of survival scenarios, you weren't going to make it. And it was within 24 hours, you know, they had predicted these cataclysmic earth changes. There would be a pole shift, the reversal of the poles. The earth would flip 90 degrees, 300 miles an hour winds at the surface, you know, flooding, you know, the biblical Noah type deal. So that obviously was a great relief to me. But beyond that, it showed me how I was snookered. And I've always said, whenever I've talked about my own growth in knowledge and awakening, I'm just the average Joe. I am nothing but an average American citizen who was raised up, you know, during a period of time in America when I felt everything was good and right about America. And so I'm just as, let's say, naive as anyone else who's been hoodwinked by the Illuminati in my formative years. I'm sure you could say the same thing of yourself, Don. So when I was younger, you know, I got out of high school. I went into the military. I thought it was the right thing to do. I was looking both for adventure and, you know, that was, you know, back in the early 60s. And I just thought it was the right thing to do. As you know, I came from a lower-class, blue-collar background, and most of my friends in that culture think that way, you know. You know, you're young, you're full of energy, you want to see the world. Of course, when you talk to the recruiter, they paint a wonderful picture. You know, you're going to see the world, you're going to go to college for free, you know, you're just going to have a ball, you know, so. So I didn't regret my time in the military. I did have a wonderful time. I really did. It was an adventure. It was also dangerous. I was in situations that could have not gone well. But it wasn't in the cards for me. So anyway, I believed in America. I believed in everything that we're fed, you know, from grammar school up about what the government is, you know, who the police are, who the military are, you know, mom, apple pie, and the whole nine yards. I just believe the propaganda that the government has been feeding all of us since
well,
our
yeah. When,
forward.
When you consider that they start with childhood, that's what
brainwashing
is all about.
You know, they have Officer Friendly coming into you, you know, your third, fourth, sixth grade, you know, gives you a little speech about, you know, I'm sure you've experienced these same things. And, you know, I had wonderful parents. You know, I had a very loving home that was raised in, you know. So, you know, I had essentially a very normal, problem-free childhood. I was a happy kid. And, you know, I was raised up in the best, or let's say enjoying the best aspects of American life and American culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very typical. So it was quite a change for me to realize after, you know, reading Bill Cooper's book, and from there I went to David Icke's, and from there I read Kathy O'Brien's book, and then I started to find out all these heavy-duty things that are going on in the background that most people, particularly of my generation, were totally unaware of as we were growing up. It was just the many people who were victimized by mind control, satanic rituals, who were suffering during that period while I was raised in ignorant bliss, really, just enjoying what the average you know, uninvolved American citizen is, you know, the sort of life he's having. So it was a big change for me to come to grips. But I had no problem believing what Bill Cooper had to say because, first, he made perfect sense in what he wrote, and he had plenty of supporting documents to back up what he was saying. And I'm not a skeptic by nature. I see myself as an open person. If I have confidence, if I'm being deceived, I'll discover it. I usually get a feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not just automatically skeptical. I address a lot of skeptics at my website because it's an automated response with cynics and skeptics, and so much that they were trained and mind conditioned to believe a certain set of postulates.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you say something outside of that set, then they, you know, the knee jerk response, you know, and then they automatically reject what you're presenting. Just because it's counter to what they've been taught in school or what they learned from their parents, and that's not a reason to reject material out of hand. What you do is it's more intelligent to listen, open, you know, let the person make his case, and then see if maybe what this person is saying is more true than what you think is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I've been all my life. So I just call it open. I'm just open.
You know, the way I see it, and I'm sure you agree, and I'm probably a lot of our listeners will agree too. We rely so much on what we were taught when we were kids that when we're confronted with something in writing, for example, or something that's reached us through word of mouth, supposedly from those in the know, we automatically accept this new thing once we see a preponderance of evidence showing us that this other belief system may be real. Now, what we have to recognize is we're still in a belief system. I'm not saying that what William Cooper wrote wasn't right or accurate. He's revealing all kinds of sinister things that have been planned for society over many years and what's to come and how it's going to be done. And then when you see the individual, you know, murdered, to silence him, then you can ascertain that he likely was telling the truth about many of these things, but still, we have to rely on our discernment. And as we're growing and we're learning to, let's say, think outside the box and feel what's going on, because we all have the ability to feel. In fact, that's a lot of what I'm going to talk about tomorrow evening. We have the ability to discern what's going on. But there is, I don't want to say a danger, one should exercise caution in doing that as well. There are a lot of people who are self-proclaimed channels that go on speaking tours and demonstrations for groups of people, and they're selling books and they're selling tapes, and they're totally controlled. They're controlled by alien entities. They're controlled by demonic entities. They're controlled by groups of people that are practicing, say, for example, Satanism, where they're conjuring spirits and conjuring parasitic entities that interfere and enter the person's energy bubble, if you want to call it that, and so you have all these different forces going on simultaneously, and so it helps to do research, you know, like on your site, you have a lot of material that talks about these things. You're not asking anyone to believe what you're writing. You're basically giving them the opportunity to see the information. So certainly you're doing something quite different from what Zeta Talk did. Your intention isn't to mislead people and everything centered around putting out disinformation. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, for the listening audience that I put that out there, that we can be fooled about what's going on, because we're brought up with this fundamental mindset of why would the government lie? You know, the government doesn't lie. They're protecting us. They're doing what's best for us. Really, they're our servants. That's what they didn't teach us in school, you see. Mm-hmm. Or if we learned that, you know, there was no example of that in real life. That's not how you perceive life. Now, what's happening is people are waking up to the truth. The truth is coming. The truth is changing us. It's changing the world. It's changing the whole universe. And these things that appear to be hopeless causes are going to change drastically because of all the other changes that are taking place. And it doesn't matter if anyone is aware of it or they believe in it or they know it. It's going to happen, and it is happening. So that's not even a rant.
No, it's what it is. It's a perfect dovetail of synchronicity into what I'm going to continue to spend the rest of this interview about. I had originally planned, if you remember from last week, I took two interviews to discuss the McDonald case, and I've been putting off a discussion about alternative health methodology and therapies that I was going to expound upon, particularly the work of Hulda Clark. But I'm going to have to put it off for yet another week because I want to continue on this theme. It's because I became inspired. I decided to do that today because of the experience that I had today. Today was a beautiful day here in Southern California. There's been a chemtrail abatement in my area for about 3.5 weeks. That's not to say that there hasn't been one chemtrail, but there's been almost none, and the few that have shown up, which was only in the earlier part of the month of June, were very sparse, and they were quickly taken care of by SILS. I want to point out that June 2nd of this year was an extraordinary day in that there was a tremendous show, armada, or display of SILS around the world. Something very extraordinary happened on June 2. And if you were to go to YouTube or Google Video and just put in the date, let's say June 2, and maybe the word SILS as well, you're going to come up with dozens of videos that were taken on that day in different parts of the world showing perhaps chemtrails, but you're going to see the most incredible display of SILS in human-looking form, human-looking faces, all kinds of animal forms. The reason it came to my attention is that first I noticed it myself. I took perhaps 200 digital photos on June 2 because it started early in the morning. There's this parade of SILS moving across the sky. I told myself, holy cow, what an unbelievable show. So I started to click away, and it just didn't stop. It was all day long, continuous, you know, movement of these most incredible SILS. It was an enormous, so I took a lot of pictures that all morning, all afternoon, right into early evening. And then I had a man contact me who had recently obtained a 5-gallon chembuster from me. And he said, I just set this up a week or so ago. He says, it's been cloudy every day. June 2 was the first day it wasn't cloudy. He says, I can't get over the SILS. He says, it's unbelievable. So I put that piece on my website on June 3 or 4, whatever it was. I posted what he had to say because he sent me some of his photos. What I didn't tell him is I would also took, you know, 200 photos that day. But I had some people email me and said, today I saw the most incredible SILS from different parts of the world. And they said, look at this video. So I looked at the links I was sent, and here's something from Greece, here's something from Turkey. Here's something from France. Oh, my God. These sylphs are off the chart. And that's when I started to look at all these videos that were posted. Well, I mean, the date of the shooting was June, too. They might have been posted the next day. And then I started to see...
You mean to say the photo shoot, right?
I mean to say video. People were taking videos and posting it to YouTube. Yeah. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, let's clarify that. We're not talking about guns. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm referring to video of sylphs that, you know, they didn't know me. It had nothing to do with my website. These people just saw these extraordinary things. In some cases, people didn't know. People were focusing on the sylphs. Excuse me. We're focusing on the chemtrails and saying, you know, this is terrible. Not realizing the sky was filled with these magnificent sylphs gobbling up those chemtrails. They were just unaware of the sylph. So they're zooming right past the sylph to zoom in on a chemtrail line, not realizing that the sylph is so huge, it's taking up perhaps an eighth of the horizon. It's so huge. And, so that was interesting. So I grabbed a few of them. I grabbed four or five and download them just to have them, you know, for my on my hard drive, so I can examine them later and take some stills from them to point out how these folks don't know they're looking at sylphs there in addition to the chemtrails. So June 2 was an extraordinary day. Now, from June 2 until today, June 30, we haven't had a lick of chemtrails here in Southern California, at least. What we had is a lot of days of just blue sky, no clouds, but no chemtrails either. But when real clouds show up, I take pictures because it's such a delight to see real clouds. And today, there was not only real clouds, but there was a number of etheric images within those real clouds. And I sent you just one shot of maybe 35 or 40 that I took. That I just one shot because every shot I have is loaded with those, but... too much to try to send you the whole, all these shots before. So I just sent you the three, and I sent you the main shot so you can see where I got the crops from. And then I took only one crop. And there's dozens of etheric images in that one shot that I, that scene that I sent you. But I only took one corner and just, you know, put in Photoshop, and I intensified the contrast by running it through a filter called auto image, and what it does, it adjusts the brightness and the contrast to optimize the photo. And you saw immediately, did you not, some of those what almost look like serpent-like sylphs that have open mouths? You can see teeth.
Oh yeah, I mean the third picture you sent me looks one of the clouds looks like Porky Pig.
Exactly, it's just loaded with.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Etheric images.
Yeah.
So what I noticed when I'm outside is birds are singing. Actually, I took photos from a couple places where, you know, the post office I go to, I took some shots from the lot there because it's a wide open space and I can see the, you know, not trees or power lines in my way, so I can see a very wide panorama of the sky. So I took a bunch there and I heard birds singing there, and I normally don't hear birds singing from that lot. But I heard birds singing there. And then when I came back to the area where we live, same thing here. When I'm taking shots, you know, we have a fair amount of trees and lawn where we're living. But same thing. Usually you don't hear birds that late in the day, but I did. And I'm saying, and now, after I was uploading these shots, my wife, you know, teaches violin, and she had her Tuesday students day, and she said, I didn't say a word to her about any of the impressions I had of the sylph. I didn't say anything to her. She just came in to me after her last student. She said, you know, she says, today was an amazing day. All of my Tuesday students, you know, are I usually have to spend the most time with them because they, you know, they are the ones that I have to concentrate most with, you know, the least developed, you know, students. She says, but you know, today, every one of them did superb in everything they were assigned. She said, I couldn't get over it. And then I told her, I says, let me tell you what I experienced today. It felt so good to be outside. The feeling that I got from, you know, the blue sky and real clouds and yet all these etheric images manifesting from these banks and banks of clouds, and the birds singing, and earlier in the day there's some kids playing on the lawn, young children, they made a little something that almost looked like a bird's nest. I took a photo of it. I may put it up on my website. So she's telling me how all of her students did so well today, and they were able to, she said, I can't get over it. And I told her, I says, like the atmosphere today seems to be charged with high positive orgone. Because I said, a good tip-off is the bird singing. When the atmosphere orgone envelope is highly charged with positive orgone, which Reich either called OR or POR, you know, for positive orgone, versus, you know, the smog and the electronic pollution and, you know, atmospheric pollution intensifies the DOR, you know, the deadly orgone. But today was a, you know, you can feel it everywhere. It affects people. Now, this is something I need to remind new listeners to, that Don Croft noticed when he started this orgone generator movement, if you will, in late 2001, is that when you make these orgone generators, particularly the larger one, you know, like a 5-gallon CB, that's 65 pounds there of this resin metal matrix and the crystals and then the pipes and all that, there's a lot of, atmospheric, what shall I say, modulating ability there. And, you know, I have a lot of orgone generators in the house. You know, I make them, so there's a lot out in the, you know, on the patio and in the garage, et cetera. I have a lot here. So I noticed it too. I was having a lot of trouble between the years 2000 and 2002 with sensitivity to electromagnetic pollution. First, computer terminals, you know, those CRT screens used to kill me. But even fluorescent lights used to wipe me out, or a copy machine. I really became quite weak because my electrical system was being undermined by this pollution. So I found that since having a lot of orgone generators, you know, I wear a pendant, orgone generator pendant around my neck, it's made a big difference. I've been much less burdened by electromagnetic pollution since that time. So we did notice back then that if you make these generators, it changes the DOR, transmutes the DOR energy into the positive polarity, which is called POR, and then people feel better emotionally. They get along better. They are less inclined to argue or be argumentative, small-minded, etc. You hear birds singing, and you hear a lot of kids giggling in the background. If you live in an area where there's children, people pick up the vibes. And today was one of those days. It was an unusually high feeling to this area, and it obviously affected my wife's students because, she never relayed a story like that to me in the past. Mm-hmm. But because of what I noticed, I says, whoa, this obviously is. So what I'd like to continue with this talk is the whole notion that we have to realize the tremendous power that's within us all to change our reality through the manner in which we think. And I guess it's going to be more of a reworking of the theme of the power of positive thinking, which is a term that Norman Vincent Peale had coined in the late 40s, early 50s. But I hear you touch upon this subject often. You're probably going to touch upon it tomorrow. And people need to realize that your state of mind, whether you allow the news about the rapid escalating encroachment of the New World Order agenda, the outrageous betrayal by the treasonous individuals who occupy the Senate and the House of Representatives. The vast majority of them are all behaving as, not all, I shouldn't say all, the majority are behaving, are fifth columnists and traitors to the Constitution, to the American people. There's no other way to describe them. Certainly the executive is a nest of traitors. And, you know, a fair amount of the judicial.
That's putting it lightly, actually.
Yeah, a fair amount of the judicial, not all, but in varying degrees, of the judicial is compromised with individuals who are moving this takeover. Certainly the Pentagon has long gone been compromised, if we want to be polite about it. And a lot of law enforcement, FBI, certainly the CIA. I mean, CIA has been a Nazi organization from its inception, and it's as corrupt and evil as it can possibly be today. They managed to corrupt the FBI. It used to be a much more honest organization, working on behalf of this people. But, you know, since Kennedy's assassination forward, they were complicit in the cover-up, et cetera. They are just an extension of the CIA, just goons for the CIA. And too bad for all those people who are currently affiliated with those organizations who think they're, on the right side of the law, who think they're on the right side of the Constitution. If you don't know, you're an idiot. And if you do know, then you need to know you're a traitor if you're participating in those organizations. Because those organizations aren't working for the people of America. They're working for the Illuminati to destroy America.
And their own self-interest as well.
And their own self-interest, ultimately.
Yeah.
Of course. Because they are truly fools if they don't know how evil cabals with a hierarchy structure work. What they do is they use people to get to achieve their goals, and then they discard those who they use lower down. The perfect example is the brown shirts in the time of Adolf Hitler. He needed these guys, street goons, really, to muscle his way to power, which once he achieved that, and he became chancellor in 1933, and continued to consolidate his power, he also wanted to polish his image. And the last thing he was going to allow is going to reward Ernst Röhm, who was in charge in shepherding, who was in charge of the brown shirts, or the SA as they were called at the time, to in any way gain any real sort of power. So he had Röhm arrested. He personally was involved in arresting Röhm and executed Röhm and a number of other top people in the SA, and gave the opportunities for the remainder of the SA to join other groups once they made it very clear who was they had dedicated their loyalty to. And if the New World Order were to go to fruition, which I don't think is going to happen now, but for the sake of discussion, if it did, all those in law enforcement, certainly all those in the military, even higher-ups in the military, the Pentagon New World Order types who are going along with the program because they think they're going to amass reward, power, riches, etc., they're going to be disposed of. So all those flunkies, you know, who are helping on any level and understand that they're helping. And I realize that lower echelon people on the administrative level, you know, secretarial level, et cetera, don't know the big picture. It's only the top people who know the big picture. But these sort of fascist empires tend to devour their own. And ultimately, those who are helping to, you know, FEMA types, Homeland Security types, they're all going to be discarded in time if the whole thing goes down, as will all those
operatives, you know, Mossad types and CIA types and MI5 and
MI6,
all those
yeah.
intelligence types who think they're on the inside loop and they're going to be protected. It ain't going to happen that way because they're too stupid, as ZSL mentioned the other night, to realize just how big and how dark the game is.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, if I can make a comment.
Yeah,
here.
Please.
In respect to what you're describing, and you started off by talking about sylphs a while ago. I don't know how many minutes ago that was, but there is photographic proof that something supernatural is going on. So when we talk about these energies, and of course you're describing it scientifically in terms of Wilhelm Reich's research and his inventions, also those that study metaphysics are quite aware of these energies and these paradigms that exist, although they're not negatively controlling in the higher realms. You know, the higher the vibration, the more light there is, the more good there is, and conversely, the lower the vibration, the more darkness there is and secrecy. And yet these people are so, I guess the word would be, cocksure of themselves that mm-hmm. they're not concerned about flaunting what they do in our faces, thinking that we're too stupid to recognize what's going on. Much like, okay, I could read Sitchin's work on the 12th planet and Nibiru and the Anunnaki and all these things, and I don't really need to concern myself with the Anunnaki when I see the reptilians and the greys here and some other species. So, you know, these things are going on despite all the efforts to cover them up. Part of their method is to flaunt it in front of us because of the nature of satanic or black magic. They have to announce what they do. And what they try to do in secret, certainly we pick up on one level or another, sometimes years in advance. And as you know, I've given you and some other people indications that I sensed some things were going to happen. And you've directed me to some of the writers that you've published, G.S. Livingstone being one, Tim Hicks another, Adalzer, and he's picking up the same things I'm picking up. I just see this by what he's writing. Now, I don't know if he listens to me or not, because he certainly could get my take on a lot of things, but I see what he's writing aligning with things that I've either written or said. So this is happening on in a multi-dimensional fashion, and people are waking up to see these things. Now you've got people just waking up to the fact that there's this new world order, or there's the Illuminati, or there are secret societies. They don't know much about them, but they have a lot of catching up to do. And we're really beyond the point for most of us where we have the time to allow those people to get to where we are in terms of their consciousness and their awareness of all these things going on. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, what you're saying is true. There are always, I guess the world's population is around 6.75 to 6.75 billion. There are new people awakening to the New World Order or some aspect of it every single day. That is quite true. So because of my website, I get mail, you know, from, let's say, newbies who say, oh my God, you know, I just, you know, realized what you're written about chemtrails or sylphs is true. I saw it for the first. So there is, in a way, I can't ignore those people necessarily because they're having oh my God, wow experience. I've had those wow, oh my God, wow experiences on numerous occasions, and I know the inner, let's say, elation, if you know, or excitement that it generates when you, you know, some people call it a realization, which is probably the best mm-hmm. way to put it.
Yeah.
So I know the thrill of that. I've experienced it. I read something many years ago in Trevor Constable's book, The Cosmic Pulse of Life, which I finally got to read around 1999. I only heard of it prior to that, of the book, but I didn't actually get my hands on it. But I did that year, and I was highly taken by it, so much so that I started to write articles. And by the year 2000, I was in regular conversation with Peter Lindemann. And because I had written some articles talking about Trevor's work, one Sunday morning, Trevor Constable calls me on the phone. He got my number from Peter Lindemann, who I didn't know they were friends with each other. And he was saying, you know, I read your article. Thank you so much. I was, holy mackerel. So we started to talk. I don't know. We talked 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and then I became fast friends with him. I've spent many hours with him and continue to spend time with him. I wish I had more time. I started to do a kind of a documentary of sorts on his work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I read something in his book. The book is filled with fabulous information. He just, by the way, just get it on the air that he's finally, after many years, I was going to go into it with him, but he found the publisher just a few months ago, and The Cosmic Pulse of Life is now available again. It wasn't for many years.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extraordinary book, and he upgraded it up to, you know, the present time. So in fact, we were there about 6-8 weeks ago, I forget exactly, and he gave me a signed copy of the new edition. It was a thrill. But anyway, people should read that book. So one of the many gems in that book is something that is called the visual ray. And it's simply this. Our bodies, the life, orgone energy is also called chi, or the life force as well. It's mm-hmm. another word for it.
Prana in the Vedic sciences, they call it
right.
Prana. Yeah.
Right. Prana, right. So when we eat food, we're getting some prana or orgone from the food, because, you know, the plants are getting it from the sun. Or if we learn how to sun gaze, which is a phenomena some people have mastered, you can actually draw enough orgone into your body that you can avoid eating. Now, some people have done this. Paramahansa Yogananda talks about this in his book,
mm-hmm.
Autobiography of a Yogi. So I have gone to websites which talk about this phenomena of drawing energy from the sun into your body, and in doing so you can, I mean, obviously it takes application and time and practice to acquire the skill, but it is doable. Some people have achieved this ability. So our eyes can literally project a beam, if you will, and they act like a corridor or a waveguide. Now, when we have these pipes sticking up from a chembuster, the purpose of the pipes is to act as waveguides. Wilhelm Reich discovered that pipes act as waveguides, and they can direct and steer and channel orgone energy. He put that in. He has two books that discuss orgone energy. It's probably in the cancer biopathy book. He explains how he discovered that by accident. He was by a lake, and there was some pipes on a cradle near the lake, and he moved the pipes, and he noticed a movement in the water when he moved the pipes. That's caused him to start looking into it. So when he made his first cloud buster, he put an array of, I think it was 10 or 12, long pipes, they're, I don't know, 12-foot pipes or so, to direct the orgone energy. So that's what we put pipes in a chembuster. They act as a waveguide. They draw the door energy from the chemtrail center into the chembuster. It transmutes it into positive orgone, and then it acts as a waveguide to carry it up and into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So our eyes can play a similar function. Now, a normal cloud, not a chemtrail, but a normal puffy, you know, puffy ball cloud on a nice day like we had today, if you were to stare at it and take your eyes and scan it back and forth, from left and right and then up and down, as if you were, you know, with your eyes drawing a crosshatch. And keep on doing that. You would notice in the space of 30 seconds to 45 seconds, it just take your glasses off if you wear glasses, so your eyes are directly on this. Pick a, you know, pick a little, not a huge cloud, but a little puffy.
A light fluffy cloud.
Cumulus cloud, you know, a nice little cotton ball cumulus cloud. You start scanning it back and forth, left and right, up and down with your eyes. The cloud will gradually evaporate to nothing. It'll happen in about 3 minutes total. I've taken still photos every 2 seconds or so of me doing this to demonstrate. I put two articles so far on my website. The first one was around 2000. I called it the visual ray, and then I did it again in 2006 or 2007. I called it the visual ray.
Mm-hmm.
Revisited to teach people that you can channel orgone through your eyes. I got this out of Trevor's book, The Visual Ray. So what's happening is that by doing this movement on the cloud, you're drawing the orgone out of the cloud into you. Why? Orgone moves from an area of lower concentration, it's attracted to an area of higher concentration. That's exactly opposite of what we experience in third dimensional physics.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we have entropy, which goes from high concentration to low concentration, right? That's the normal movement in third dimensional physics. But now we're talking about orgone, we're talking about ether physics. And most rules are exactly opposite. And that's the case with orgone.
Mm-hmm.
So the cloud is held together by orgone energy. By the way, that's the reason that the sky is blue. Orgone energy is blue in color.
Now, I'd like to describe my technique to you if I could. And
okay.
I was able to do this since I was a teenager. I can look up at a cloud, and what I do is I reveal the blue sky that's behind it.
Okay.
Okay, rather than use the technique you described. However, I can look at a portion of the cloud in the center or any location on the cloud, and I can create a hole in the cloud that you can see the blue sky through it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt about whether or not I do this, because I'll describe to you what I'm going to do before I do it. And I can begin the process. I've become so adept at it that I start the process and I turn away from it and don't pay it any more attention.
Yes.
And I let the observers describe to me what's happening. As
yes.
I'm chuckling.
Yes.
So it's the same technique. What I'm doing is I'm just sending energy, and I can literally see the energy I'm sending. The space between my eyes and that cloud becomes filled with sparkling, vibrant energy. Okay? And I know it can be photographed. I can see it. Certainly, I think what I'll do is I'll start taking some photographs of this and just send them to you. I mean, when you get a bunch of clouds with donut holes in them, you're going to know
that
I did that. And
you've
and,
been busy.
Yeah, and it's not something that you normally see. I got so good that I could spell letters. In other words, I could erase the parts of the cloud that would reveal a letter in the remaining part of the cloud, and I could spell words or make contrails go away. Now, I can also make chemtrails go away, but I don't particularly feel like standing out underneath chemtrails while I stare at them, you know. So I call in the Sils to do that.
Yes.
But I've had neighbors see me doing this, asking me questions like, what's the matter? Do you see a UFO? Or, you know.
Yes.
You looking for aliens up there?
Yes.
They'll make some kind of comment because I'll be looking at the sky for, you know, an extended period of time.
Right. Yes.
But I've gotten it down. Yeah, 3 minutes in the beginning is about what it would take for an average-sized cloud. But I can do huge clouds in under 30 seconds.
Mm,
you know,
wow.
So, I've, you know, people who are with me see me do it, and of course they're amazed. I've filmed it. And it's really interesting to film this with a video camera as the cloud's disappearing. And then you take the video and you put it into a VCR and hit play and let it play up to a certain point and then stay in play mode and scan in reverse. And you see a blue sky and then all of a sudden a cloud appears.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of interesting.
You.
So you're showing it in reverse.
Showing in reverse, yes.
You're showing the process. Mm-hmm. It's pretty mind-blowing when you see this over and over again, you see?
Yeah.
No doubt that I was the one that did it.
Yes.
Now, I've had people even say something like, well, you knew that cloud was going to disappear. And I said, well, that would make me psychic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, they try to tell me what's going on. Yes. They've never seen this before. But
right.
they know what's happening.
Yeah, well, that's the skeptical conditioned mind that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So I understand people... I understand why they're responding that way, but it doesn't make it acceptable to be that way. It's
mm-hmm.
just because we understand why they're responding, it's better to get out of that straitjacket.
Now, you know what's interesting?
Definitely, yes.
The amazing Randy, the magician that has spent his career trying to debunk. And, of course, I think he's doing this for the CIA anyway.
Of course.
Debunk metaphysics. And he offers this million-dollar challenge to anyone that can show they have psychic ability. But he's the judge as to whether or not you have a psychic ability. And one of the first thing he says, now, I've never called this cloud busting, okay? Mm-hmm. Other people have called it that. And
right.
it's really, there's a whole bag of phenomenon that go with that particular thing, if you want to call it cloud busting. And it's the most ridiculous statement for someone looking for proof of a psychic to make just to avoid paying them $1 million.
Yeah.
There is no greater, in terms of giving someone physical proof, there's no greater method that you could show them that you could pick a cloud out in the sky and say, watch this cloud. Watch what I do to it. I'm going to make a circle in the center, like a donut hole, or, you know, like a glazed donut. Or I'm going to chop off the whole top half of the cloud. It's going to look like it was cut with a razor blade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right in what's the middle right now, and you only see half the cloud. Or I'll make the whole cloud evaporate, and I'll do it within a certain period of time. Certainly that is a demonstration of metaphysical ability. And so you have to look at this whole thing, you know, as a lure to find out who the psychics are and to try to discredit these people. That's all that is, you know. It's a psyop.
A few years ago, just to mention to you, since you mentioned Randy, I had, alluded to him on more than one occasion when it came to, you know, your classic skeptic, who, your professional skeptic, if you will, and how he, in fact, is an agent, has been all his life for who? CIA, I suppose.
Yeah.
To debunk any sort of paranormal phenomena, because people who do that sort of work, debunking work, their assignment is to make people think they don't have any power, they don't have any connection outside of their physical body to other forces, other consciousness. That's exactly the point. Why? They want to keep a lid on the fact, and this is the purpose of the show, the theme of the show, is that we are individuals, we are created individuals, and we have creative powers to exercise. First, you got to know it. If you don't know, you can create with your mind. You can create, you can alter reality with your mind. Well, if you don't know that, then you won't apply it. If you don't apply any sort of change because you think that you're, just a little old human who's being victimized by all these bad people who are enslaving you, and you can't do anything about it, you know. If you're going to get into that mindset, then that is what you will create. You'll create defeatism. You'll create continued enslavement, continued victimization, etc. On the other hand, once you realize that you have far more power than you're aware of in this form. Of course, when we return to the spirit world, we have a much better idea of our abilities, which are far beyond what. But we're here to have a school experience, so our conscious mind, at least, is wiped of our earlier experiences in our other lives, etc., in order so that we can work with a blank slate and to learn spiritual lessons. That's why we're here. Just heard somebody on KPFK call into the show today, late afternoon show, and it was very interesting to hear the host regurgitate very typical orthodox reasons why he sort of has a humanist point of view. Okay? So in his world, there is no God. It's just amino acids, by happenstance came together, and that led to life, and only so. So it was very amusing to hear people call in and say, well, I don't really know the purpose of life, but I do know, they often had good aspects of it, but it just kills me. People don't understand, I didn't at one point either, but it's very clear now, and most people who study metaphysics will tell you, you're a spirit, you're in a human vehicle, in the interest of having experiences here, for what purpose is to develop spiritually. Now, sometimes we regress in soul development, we go backwards, we become a little Hitler. And in other lives, we go forward. It's kind of a surging back and forth. But all of life is experiencing, through many lives, all aspects of existence, good and bad. And that as we graduate, though, we get a little bit smarter, we start realizing what a merry-go-round the destructive, negative, evil world is,
mm-hmm.
and what a expansive joy it is to be part of the creative, positive world, of people doing nice things and being loving and forgiving and helpful and all that. So you realize it's much more fun to be a good guy than a bad guy.
Imagine being the Earth or some other aspect of universal consciousness manifested in this physical realm and having to put up with the horse bucky that it has to put up with.
I thank you for reminding me, though. I address the Earth every single day. I usually pray before food because I use that opportunity to address the Creator and the universe. And particularly, I thank Mother Earth, and I refer to the Sun as Father Sun, because they are, beyond the physical things, they are a consciousness. As everyone who's got a brain, knows what the, Native Americans have always known. The Earth is a living being, okay? And she puts up with a lot. However, by addressing every single day, I thank the Earth, Mother Earth, for providing the matrix that allowed the plants to grow, which in turn allows sustenance for the animals to grow, etc. I thank the spirits. If I'm eating meat, I thank the spirit of the animal that meat came from for providing this nourishment to me, and that they're doing good work in the interest of serving God's larger plan. But thank you. I hope it wasn't, your next time around is peaceful for you. So, and I do that every single day. So I do, in a way, address the Earth. When I'm outside, if I see tremendous sylphs, I'll usually, in my mind, address them as well. And very often, I've gotten responses. Sometimes I've even caught this on video on a few occasions. There was one occasion last year. I think it was last year. I was tremendous sylphs. It was a bad chemtrail day, but as I was panning with my video camera, the sylph was following me as I was walking down a field, and I said, "Holy mackerel! It's turning and looking at me as I'm going here." So I caught that on video. I should find that clip sometime and send it to you. So what I'm continuing to try to expound on is that we are creative beings, and if we allow all the negative news that we get politically, if we allow the doom and gloomers that the internet is filled with, the Zeta Talk types, for instance, I used to be there, I was one of their disciples at one point, So I know the people who are still believing in that, they write me sometime, and, you know, Zeta Talk apparently now has changed the date to 2012. You know, what they predicted was going to happen in 2003, they say, well, it's going to happen in 2012. And I have people as sincere as I was saying, listen, man, you got to get rid of you. You know, and I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. It's a psyops. I says, you know, it's NSA, excuse me, it's NASA, CIA, it's a mind control operation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your time. Now, I've already gone through it.
If I can comment in our waning moments here on something, and that's pertaining to what you just said, mm-hmm. and the massive psyops that's going on with all these dead celebrities now, mm-hmm. is that they're focusing nonstop. They're focusing people's attention on these issues. Nobody cared about them a week ago. You know, they weren't in the public consciousness whatsoever. And all of a sudden, you have this, I mean, it looks highly orchestrated. I don't know what your perception is.
Oh,
but,
yes,
but
absolutely.
Extremely orchestrated. And
so
many people have fallen into the trap of the mind control. It's really mind control ramped up tremendously. And you get
exactly.
these recapitulations of who these people are. Not that I want to dwell on Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. but use some discernment. He was a black man. He was born black, okay? And he changed himself through medical science and probably through some other means into something, let's say, a non-black and even a non-white. Mm-hmm. He's beyond white.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he fathered several children with a woman he was married to, and of course they say he was married. We don't know that for certain.
Yeah, yeah.
They say that he fathered the children, and the children show no signs of being black. Is that the result of his skin having been bleached and his nose cut off and put back on 30 or 40
right.
times in the last
right.
10 years?
Right.
You know, or because he's wearing sunglasses, or he grew his hair long, or I'm not making fun of him.
No, I know you're not, but
it's very abnormal behavior.
Absolutely.
Okay. Especially for a so-called star.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is people should be using their discernment to see, to ascertain what is going on. Because there's a reason this is happening now. It's not just because it's something that happened on its own accord. This is planned and orchestrated. And you know, the sporting channels are showing Michael Jackson videos and Michael Jackson specials. You're talking about the Golf Channel. Or, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's definite propaganda. There's no other excuse. Why would somebody that subscribes to baseball and football and basketball and soccer and hockey and, of course, they have to add card playing. That's a new sport now, playing poker. But why would the people that watch those shows all of a sudden have to watch Michael Jackson videos on that show or documentaries about it? Why would the news nonstop just keep drumming this into people's heads? Look away from that and you'll sense the uneasy feeling is that they're getting ready for more false flag events. That's what's really going on here, you see? And this month is going to be prime for it. Mark my words.
Yes, right.
I just wanted to make that point because the relevance of all of this stuff is based on what's happening now. Right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and you're right. I could say a little bit about Michael Jackson is that Z.S. Livingstone did an essay in 2003, in February 2003, titled simply Michael Jackson. It's only a one-page essay, but he gives what I think is an accurate overview of who the person we're calling Michael Jackson had become. I don't think Bryce Taylor made it clear in her book, Thanks for the Memory, that the Jackson boys were all
victims of mind control and brutalization by their father.
Mm-hmm.
It's no news to the pop world that Michael Jackson had less than, you know, reverence and respect and love for his father, who he publicly said had beaten him. Well, he did a lot more than that. The abuse went far beyond just beating of the ordinary type. That boy, as well as all the Jackson boys, were harshly treated, as they treat all victims of mind control. He's definitely him, and undoubtedly all members of his family.
Well,
are
many people have been abused. Many black people have been abused, or been in abusive relationships. That didn't make them want to turn themselves into white.
No, but
white people. And conversely, there's a lot of white people that have been abused. That maybe they're getting suntans, but certainly, you know, they're not going out trying to make themselves change their race.
What I'm leading up to is that the abuses of the worst type. I'm talking about mind control now, which is intentional trauma. So I don't want to use the words, but the most terrible things you can possibly do to a child by an adult, he experienced that on multiple occasions. In order to fracture his mind, in order to create compartmentalized personalities,
People see those like the movie about the Jacksons, you know, the life story, and then they say, well, I don't know if I believe this because I saw it in the movie, and that seemed to be very real, you know, they alluded to family problems, and they alluded to this meanness, but you see, that's the cover story, too. I'm not saying the abuse didn't go on.
Right.
It's a cover story to something much larger.
Right. So, you know, what happens is that people who are in that position, and particularly of his power and influence, are alien friends who can literally take over a human body if the individual who occupies the body is sufficiently weakened or fractured so that a alien entity can take it over. I'm reasonably confident that's what happened in Michael Jackson's case. And this is what Z.S. Livingstone essentially alludes to in his 2003 story. So what I think would happen is that another consciousness has been residing either exclusively in the body of Michael Jackson or cohabiting the body of Michael Jackson with the, let's say, with the soul of the original Michael Jackson, but it's evident who was in charge of the body. And I think his demise we need to remember this date, June 25, his demise coincided with the demise of 21 other individuals in other parts of the world who also expired on that date,
mm-hmm.
who also were of an alien consciousness. And there was a reason that happened on that day, and it was a evening of a score that we need to realize that we humans, with human souls, have far more power than we realize. We can overcome anything the Illuminati, the human, or the mixed, human reptilians, and or the reptilians, and or the greys, and any negative alien group wishes to try to throw at us to dominate and destroy humanity. It's not going to happen because we have the power to stop it. And that power was demonstrated on June 25.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can insert something about the date. And that's the month and the day add up to 13, and the year adds up to 11. Okay, you add 6 and 2 and 5, you get 13. You add the 2 and the 9 in 2009, you get 11. 13-11 is also the first two numbers of MK, as in MK Ultra. the very subversive mind control program that they ran out of Montauk and all over the world now. So there is numerical significance these are the symbols behind what they do. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. And that you had two people die on that day, Farrah Fawcett being another one, and shortly before that, Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon. Mm-hmm.
And then Billy May, this TV infomercial announcer, salesman.
Okay.
A billionaire. Or at least a millionaire. He sold billions of dollars worth of products on TV.
Okay.
And I'm sure some other individuals, those names will surface, fairly in the near future, let's say. But I want to make that point about that date. That date mm-hmm. has numerical significance to mind control. The very mind control program used those first two numbers hidden behind the letters, MK, mm-hmm. hiding the meaning of the numbers.
Yes.
And the 13 is symbolic of the 13 Illuminati families, and the 11 is the number for Satan. In their mind.
In their mind, right.
Yes.
Well, I know we only have a couple minutes left, so I'll just wrap up that, very quick anecdote. I'll only take 30 seconds on this, but I just need to add that because you had mentioned to me on more than one occasion, you've said it on this program, that you call in the Sylphs to help clear out chemtrails. A good friend of mine, Luke Gatto, is a very good homeopath. He's currently living in New Mexico now, Santa Fe. He just called me today. We haven't talked for a month or two. And he said I had an incredible experience the other day. He told me when it was, a week or two ago in his area. I forget. He says they were just killing us with the chemtrails. He says it was terrible. He's on his bike. He had to go somewhere. He said it had about a two-mile ride. And what he did is that he was so disgusted by it that he got off his bike and he found the tree and he went under and went into a meditative state. And because he read this on my website, he called in the Sylphs. It's similar to what you express it. You simply call in the Sylphs. And then he got on his bike. And by the time he arrived at the store that he was going to about a mile away, he said the sky was completely clear. He says, I couldn't get over it. He says, it was like they just vacuumed the whole sky. So the reason I'm adding this anecdote is I want to emphasize that we have the power to create. And I often mention it on the website. We create reality with our thoughts. Now, if one person can draw in sylphs by thinking or asking them to come in to clean up the sky in his immediate area, 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 people thinking the same positive thought can affect reality. So I mentioned to you privately on the phone, Tim Hicks sent me a dowse in which the dowse revealed that there would be an attempted assassination of Obama in the latter half of July, and that a number of people know about it. And I put the dowse up on my website so hopefully millions would read it. And by people reading it, you tell yourself, or you say, I'm not going to allow this to happen. This will not unfold. This, you can think of various ways that the plan will cave in, hopefully foreknowledge being the principal reason, if this plan was in the work, why it will not happen, because enough people mm-hmm. have heard about it before the fact that they won't dare go forward with it. But we can do this in other ways. We can stop planes from even spraying out chemtrails if enough people concentrate on imagining gum clogging up the lines that are carrying this spray, to go out the planes. We can create reality with our mind. And the reason they have doom and gloomers all over the internet pumping, you know, how bad it's going to be when, you know, we're rounded up and we're putting the FEMA concentration camps and the Gunderson cattle cars with, you know, the thousands and the shackles and UN troops and the military troops are amassing on the Montana. Why? The reason they're doing all that is they want people to become frightened.
Yeah, it's
dude,
about fear mongering.
Psyops, right, yeah. Right, and exactly. And then when you're thinking fear, oh my God, they're going to get, oh my God, what am I going to do? Yeah, that's exactly what they want. Because you're creating or you're reinforcing or you're allowing that reality to go forward by processing those thoughts. So the whole theme of the talk tonight was to remind everyone that you can change reality with your thoughts. And you need to not allow this doom and gloom 2012. Oh my God, the world's going to end. Nehru's going to come through. The Mayan calendar is the end of time. Forget it. It's not going to happen. It's just going to pass right into 2013, just like 2003 passed into 2004 when Zeta Talk had for 8 years trumpeted that, oh my God, Nehru's going to come through. These are all psyops designed to scare, frighten, anxiety, stress people out. So you don't take corrective action. The corrective action I'm talking about is what you're doing with your mind. Is you become, don't allow yourself to become defeated. Don't allow defeatist notions to overtake you. In fact, if you go the other way, life will just explode around you. Just like today was such a magnificent day. June 2 was such a magnificent day. Because when your vibes are channeling that type of energy, that's what you produce around you. And there, and I put something on the website, people read it, it affects their thinking, and or ZSL or Tim Hicks or whoever is putting the article up there, it's giving people a sense of optimism and hopes. That changes everything.
Yeah, and while all this is going on too, these diversions, they're stealing money. You know,
oh, yes.
they're stealing illusions is what they're doing. They're stealing illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I said it twice to underscore, that this is going on. Does it affect the economy? It does, as long as you feel that you're controlled by it and you have,
exactly,
you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, We're out of time. We're going to have to wrap.
Right, okay.
But certainly we could go on and on with this subject.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey McDonald and Huldah Clark may have a couple of more weeks.
Right. Well, I pretty much said what I wanted to say about the Jeffrey McDonald case. I'm going to post info on my website very soon, though, to buttress what I talked about. But Huldah Clark, info, Alternative Health. We'll either get to it 1 or 2 weeks from now, but it's fabulous stuff. I have fabulous info to relay to people. You're gonna, people who think they need the system, think they need, you know, their allopathic doctor, think they need prescription drugs, just don't know how easy it is to solve all your health problems. And I'm talking about the stuff that they're dumping on us, you know, whether it's the created the so-called swine flu, whether it's all the poisons, toxins they've been dumping on us for, you know, I don't know, for, what is it, 2009 now they started, okay, we're in our 11th year of chemtrail spraying. It doesn't matter what they're trying to throw us, you know, to compromise immunity, et cetera, we can overcome it all because we are creative beings.
Yeah.
And we have an unlimited capacity to heal ourselves.
So true, and I agree, and I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. A lot of people have been asking that I do one of my monologue shows and sort of teach some of this stuff. So from my perspective in metaphysics, I'm going to sort of connect the physical, mental, and the spiritual all together.
Well, I look forward to your chat tomorrow.
And I want to encourage the listeners to go to your website, educate-yourself.org, and just have at it. You got thousands and thousands of pages of stuff there. I'm catching up to you little by little, but.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks, Don.
I think I got more archives than anybody on the internet. I can say that much.
Okay.
And I got a lot more to go. Well, thanks for being on the show. I look forward to your next appearance, and I think it's on the 9th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
July 9th, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and the new schedule is posted up to, as far as it's booked, up to date, folks. So you can go to my website, directlightproductions.com. There's a lot of stuff to look at. I put up some more documents free to download. And hopefully we're going to have some more photos coming from our friends in the United Galactic Federation pretty soon. We want to say hello to them also and let them know that we stand with them, and our prayers for their safety are included.
Yep.
So I guess it's time to say goodnight. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible on bbsradio.com, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when I will...